Blessing upon it. We focus our eyes on you, the God who is, was, and always shall be, the God of all creation and might and power. You alone are God. Father, we ask your blessing now on every person that's here. Lord, may this be just a personal victory for everybody in this room, God, as we come in and break away from the outside world, breaking into your presence today, allowing your Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us and into us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, if you take a minute with me, let's talk about the things that we believe. And we recite these not just so that you can get a kind of what, but to remind us of what we do believe. My hope is that you can memorize this. And somebody ever asks you, you go, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm hopeful that you not only believe that, but you get excited about it today. Let me take just a minute and run through some announcements. A couple things really important, and I forget to do this sometimes. In the back of your chairs, there are cards. And if you have a prayer request, we would love to have you write down prayer requests on there. A couple things you can do. One of those is if you put it in the offering as it comes by.
Secondarily, you can put them up here on the cross. It's got little notches. You can put it in there. And we will take those cards. We pray over those on Tuesday mornings in our prayer team. We also pray over those on Sunday mornings with our prayer team. So we'd like to do that. Also, at the end of the service, you can feel free to come and put them up there. You'll also have prayer at the end of the service. So again, God said this house is going to be a house of prayer. That's one of the things that we want to do while we're here. Let me run through some announcements. I got to make a quick little change. Oh, my goodness. All right? Some of you are aware there's a one-on-one class this Saturday. Okay? It will be this Saturday from 9 to 1. Also, there are some different conflicts. Okay? So, some of you want to make it mañana. Okay? Tomorrow? That's Monday, isn't it? Tomorrow, Monday. And we'll go like from 5 to 9. It's a 4-hour class. We'll give you dinner. We'll have child care provided. So if you haven't taken the one-on-one class, if you want to know what this church is all about, and you want to know what this short fat guy here preaches about and teaches about and what the rest of us do, come to that class. It's a great class. It tells you all the stuff that we do. And it's also kind of a prep class if you want to be a member to the church and have to take that class. Not kind of you. And then we also have the 201 class, which I feel better because they ran into a bit of a scheduling glitch as well. So talk with Marilyn about that. Ray and Marilyn will be teaching that class. So if you want to take the 201 or the 301, just kind of hook up with them and they'll tell you what's going on. So is that clear? So the 101 class, I'm sorry to kind of make a change. But some of you, if you run into that schedule change, tomorrow night, 5 to 9, as I said, we'll provide dinner and child care. We always do what I think are quarterly seminar, and be here for that. All right. Also coming up, we've got the September Saturday suppers, which last night was fantastic. We had a great time back at our house. So I didn't have to go far, you know. But I want you to know, I had to clean the house. You know, that was really so. But we had a good time. It was just great. Next Sunday, in fact, it's next Saturday. Thank you. It's going to be down at Steve's house. Now, you need some directions on this. Steve's not here today, is he?
No.
No. This is what's way cool. He's driving all the way up from south of Meridian just to be here to barbecue for dinner. Okay? So that will be Saturday at 6 o'clock. His house is down at the 3-lane. How many of you know where the 3-lane is? Okay? There is a highway down here that... it's a Highway 21. How many of you know where Highway 21 is? As you're going toward Boise, down that way, you know, you'll get down to milepost 34, then there's a big corner. She comes out of that corner, and there's a straightaway that goes into, guess how many lanes?
Three
lanes. So we came up with this name for that part of the highway called the 3-lane. Whoa, baby. So right at the end of the 3-lane, there's a left turn. There's a road coming in from the left. You'll see a big double white trailer with a great big top over it, canopy, whatever it's called, jet roof, whatever. Big. Anyway, he's right there. If I knew the address, I'd give it to you, but I don't know. Do you know the address, John?
No, but do you know where the gang of mailboxes are? Right there.
It's a gang?
It's a gang of mailboxes.
A gang of mailboxes.
Right behind.
That's our only gang in Idaho City. It's a gang of mailboxes. Yes. Right. Yeah, there are several, like four or five. I mean, that's a bunch.
Right? A white potato chip
band. Okay. And you'll see a bunch of us good-looking folks over there, too. So it's a BYOM barbecue, which means bring whatever meat you want to barbecue. They'll have a barbecue area, just serve meat on. And then it's a potluck, so you bring a dish to share with everybody. So, got that? Everybody say yes. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, Ladies Fall Retreat coming up October, the end of October. Please get signed up for that. It's a Trinity Pine Cascade. I know many of you have already signed up for that. We encourage you to get that done. The sooner you do it, the cheaper it is. So that's a great thing. We've also got a youth thing coming up.
Yes, we do. October 6th and 7th. Don't forget, we already had our first workday last Saturday. We have another one hopefully planned for this next Sunday to help pay for you to go to this youth conference. Get closer to God, to have some fun, listen to some music.
Oh, it's working out.
So,
Work at youth. I should have the sign up this time. If I don't, then grab me or Lisa after church.
What's the exam?
Youth, so 7th through senior high.
Okay, so.
Yeah, even you, senior high people back there.
John, he's not talking to you. That's, you're just senior. So if you are 7th, 12th grades, and you want to go, hook up with Jason or Lisa. Parents, adults, if you've got some work, these guys can earn their way to camp. How much is it?
It's going to be 65 per person.
65 per person.
We're going to be doing some stuff.
I got to earn some money, so help them do that if you would, please. So, what's next? Fall seminar, we did that. That's next Saturday. Those of you that aren't coming Monday night, come Saturday morning. That's the 101, 201, get a hold of Raymond. Okay, any others? This is cool. Next Sunday, we're going to have a baptismal service. And this is not my fault. This is, it's the rest of, yeah. I'm going to put ice in it just to make sure. You know, I'm going to stand outside. Yeah, this was put together by the staff. It wasn't me.
We wanted the ribbon.
You're
all lucky. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have a baptismal service. It'll be out here in the back. We've got a portable baptistry for those of you that have never seen it before. So we'll be having it out back there. And we're going to have a barbecue out there. Go ahead, we'll do a potluck out of it. The church will bring the meat. And then we're going to do a big celebration. It's almost like there's something to celebrate when people get baptized. It's kind of weak, folks. It's almost like it's worth it when people get baptized.
Amen! Yeah.
Celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible, awesome, wonderful thing. So the whole service will be outside, weather permitting. All right? So just make sure. It's supposed to be 61 next week by... That's the high at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Yeah. Wear a jacket. The woolens, with fur and all that. It'll be truly is. And I want you, please. It's kind of like, and I'm going to encourage you here in a second. But would you come ready to celebrate? Would you come just ready to really celebrate life? Because life we have in Christ is what sets us apart. It's what makes a difference. We're not better than anybody, but we certainly are better off.
Amen.
Oh, that would be good. But come on. But you need to understand that. God is so good. And he loves us in spite of it. In spite of it. And he loves us. So it's a great thing. So if you've never been baptized, if you've received Christ in your heart and Savior's Lord, or if you would like to just you need a rededication of life to Christ, you want to get baptized, please get with me this week sometime, talk to me, and we'll get that figured out. We've got several that want to be baptized, so just to let you know. Okay, any other announcements? Uno más. Sigo at the poll, September 27th.
Yes, absolutely. This is a huge school event. You want to stand out for Christ. This is it. So whether you come Wednesday night or not, but if you go to Iowa City School, see you at the poll on the 27th. So, I'll have donuts. 8? No, no, is it 8? I think it's 8. Because school starts like 10 minutes later. So, it's just a quick prayer. Gather around the flagpole.
Any adults who want to join them, you're invited, but you have to shut up. Because it's a matter of it's a team thing. So, they get to, you can pray if you're in the circle thing. But other than that, it's the Timberland kind of thing, and Jason's going to be doing that. So, at this time, for ushers would come, we're going to take just a moment to receive an offering. We don't take offerings here. We're going to receive whatever you want to give to God. We're going to use it for his glory and for his kingdom. There is a second offering. I want to remind you of that. That goes this week towards our benevolence fund, and that gives us monies on hand to help folks out from time to time that need it. And it's just a great opportunity for that. So we're going to give to God. And Tim, would you mind asking God to bless our giving, please?
Father, you've been so good to us. Everything that we are, everything that we will be, comes from you. Now we have this opportunity to give back, to share with you, and share with your church. We ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the broken parts, leading to the open cause, the word of truth.
Oh, talking about the goodness of Jesus. This next song, the tune of my heart, the main words of it are, you are good.
Oh,
you that are facing some stuff that is not easy. I preached yesterday. He talked about, you know, God gives us strength. Not because life is easy, because life is hard. Living for Christ is the absolute best way to live in the world, right?
Amen.
Right? But it's not always easy. God will never let us go. Yeah. This morning, people, Lord, and we're going to pray. And I want to pray with you today if you've got some needs going on, things going on, and you're honestly feeling like either you've been let go or you're feeling like you're hoping it will not be the end of this road. I want you to know that there's a God that's holding on to you today. Father, we come in Jesus' name today. We came in that name that's above every name that can never be named. We're above in that name that gives us life and gives us salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful to know that you are the giver of life. You've gifted us. You've blessed us, Lord. Father, in this nation, we are so blessed. We have so much. And Lord, we want to thank you for recognizing that all the good things that come down from God above, everything that is good, it's not because of what we or some brainiac has brought about. It's because our God has poured out his blessing upon us. And Lord, we pray. We pray because we recognize that we need revival in this land. We pray for our leadership. We pray for our president today. We pray for every elected official in this nation, even those that are appointed, and especially those that, or those that are making decisions that can change the direction, Lord, of this nation. Would you grab hold of their lives? Lord, would you draw them to yourself? And Father, we pray that each one of them could come to know you as Savior, Lord, of their lives, and that we could see the things that are just going so awful in this nation be turned around by your power, not by the arms of man's strength, but by the power of the Spirit of God. May you turn things around. Oh God, start that realm. Bring it down through our edges that are present all the way down. Bring it into here in Idaho City and Idaho City Christian Center. God, may we be people that are alive and set on fire by the Spirit of God for you. Lord, I want to pray especially today. We pray as a body for those that are hurting in this church today. I want to pray for those that really are not feeling it today. They're just not really sinking in with what your Spirit promises us, that you're never going to let us go. You'll never let us down. God, that you'll always continue to uphold us and to strengthen us. I want to pray for those today that are just really having a hard time looking up. Oh, God, that this morning, again, your power could come in, your word could remind them, your Spirit could breathe into them that life and that assurance. Not about emotion, but about your word and that it's true. God, this morning, God, lift those people, lift those ones that just need to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Let me be true.
Hey, kids, if you're in the sixth grade and down, if you come on up, we want to pray with you as we head you out for Children's Church. Hey, folks, let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name again. We're thankful for each one of these children. We recognize your word says that each one of these children, however they got there, each one of these children is a blessing to their home. And we want to thank you for them. We also recognize their blessing to this church. As understanding that as a blessing, we realize the great responsibility we have to train them up and teach them about you. So, Father, we dismiss them to head for their classes downstairs. We just ask that you would help them to hear their spirit speak to their hearts and lives. Use their teachers. We ask for your anointing upon them that they might share your words of life into their hearts. Again, the goal is that each one of these children might come to know the Savior more of their lives and serve you all the days of their lives. God, help us to be good examples of that and to pray for each one of these children. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. As they head out, you've got 2 minutes and 86 seconds. I've got 1 second off of that. So you've got 2 minutes and 86 seconds. Shake hands with some folks. Tell them you're glad to serve in church. Praise.
Yeah.
Hebrews 6:19, I think it's in your bulletins there. This hope we have as an anchor for our soul. And we've been going through, we have the anchor over here, we got the life ring, drawn out. And that really what is the truth, what we're teaching here is, what is the hope? We talked a couple weeks ago about remembrance, or I talked a couple weeks ago about remembrance, and remembering who you were, remembering who you are, remembering who you are to be in Christ Jesus. And tying that into this concept, you can't throw the ring, you can't say you have the anchor if you don't understand that first. So you gotta understand who you are and who you were before you can even move on from there. And when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, same thing. If you don't understand the Holy Spirit, the power that lives within you as a believer, then what are you throwing out there? Well wishes? You know, a lot of happy, clappy, clappies? You know, you have nothing to throw because you don't have the Spirit. That's the whole power that holds it all together. Sure it is. But anyhow, like I said, 2 weeks ago we talked about remembering, so we're going to do some remembering right now. We're going to remember some biblical history, because you can't talk about the future until you refresh and understand the past as well. So it all goes back to the beginning. And while we're going through, while we're going through all this, keep in mind what Mark was saying last week about the Holy Spirit. Isn't this aura? Isn't this mist per se, or this magical power? It's not the force. You like the Star Wars acronyms there. But the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is a He. It's a Him. It's an actual persona, not a concept. So as we continue talking, keep that in the back of your mind as well. So we go back to the beginning. Biblical history here. Man was created in the image of God. And God said it was
good.
Genesis 1:26. We have, then God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the our in there also. Just a little 3-in-1 kind of jab out there for you guys. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. Genesis 1:31, and God saw that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So that's where it starts. Man's been created.
Good.
Stay with it because it's going to tie in later. Then what happened? Genesis 3 happened, right? We have the fall, sin, death entering the world. Genesis, if you're following along, I don't have these verses on the board, but Genesis 2:15-17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. So we have man created, we have the commandment given to man, he has everything, just stay away from this one tree. And then Genesis 3 happens, and man fails. And the result, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And then on the board, Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust. And in dust you shall return. What a change, huh? Man created in the image of God, likeness of God, with the breath of God in him. It was good. You're dust. And to dust you shall return. It's just a whole 180 that happened there as a result of the fall. So we move forward a little bit in time to the covenant. The verses that I'm going to read to you is Genesis 17:1-8. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I felt bad for Braden because he types all these nice slides up there. And it was a lot of typing, so I kind of omitted a little bit. So there's some of it up there, but not all of it. I was going to say it's all, important stuff, but it's all important. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Here's what he said. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. So, created, creation, good, fall, bad, covenant, everlasting promise now. So we're kind of starting to circle back around. Then we go to Exodus. The law is given. Exodus 19:3-6. Again, part of it's there, part of it isn't. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. And then you continue through Exodus, you have the Ten Commandments given, you have the priestly law given, you have everything that Israel was supposed to do, the gold standard, you might say, that all the way to the time of Jesus, this was the standard that the Jews were following, Israel was following, to obtain righteousness inside of God. How did that work out for them? not too well. How's it work for us? Can we follow along and be good enough?
No.
That is right.
Up in one way, you're guilty of the whole thing. So we have a failure in Romans 3, 19 through 20. Now we know that what the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. What's that mean right there? What was the law created? Was the law given with the expectation that you would actually be able to keep the law? That is the righteous expectation. However, the purpose of the law was to humble you, to bring you to your knees, to let you know you aren't going to make it. You cannot do it. And yet, for so many generations, they thought, we can, we can, we can. And yet they failed. And it says, because by the works of the law, no flesh is justified in his sight. Nobody is justified. The law, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's what the law is for. The law tells you, you're not good enough. You have failed. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's kind of where you're left as an Old Testament Jew, you might say, is you're left at the law. That's what you have. That's your standard. And according to Scripture, it's hopeless. You're never going to make it. You can try. And there's a lot of religions out there that are trying to earn their way. And we have something else. And this is more going to go into the current study. The redemption promise. Jeremiah 31 verses 31 through 34, part of it's up there. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke. Imagine that. Although I was a husband of them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again, each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Fast forward, you have Joel chapter 2, verse 20 through 29. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So we have good, fail, covenant, fail, promise. That's where we're starting right now. We're at the promise, the Holy Spirit's promise. So as we go through this book, when Paul is teaching, Paul is teaching from all this historical knowledge that he has. He knows where they've been. He knows where they are. He knows about the redemption promise of the Spirit. So when he's living it out, when he's writing the letters to the churches, he's speaking with authority, knowing that what has happened has been fulfilled. And we come to that evidence, twofold evidences. One, the resurrection of the dead. This is something that Paul was expecting. Paul was waiting for that the Jews were seeing in the promises spelled out in Jeremiah and in Joel, there would be a resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-26, the fulfillment of that happened in Christ. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, By a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, what did Christ conquer right then and there? Death. So Paul's looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and saying death has been conquered, death has been overcome. We're no longer back here at the covenant. We're into the future kingdom. We've moved forward. See Paul's perspective change? It's not back here trying to please God, trying to justify God. It's here reigning with God in the kingdom of God. His mind is on the future. The second evidence, the pouring out of his Spirit. We just read in Joel. When was that accomplished? Pentecost. Who knows what Pentecost is? Any of the youth?
We'll narrow it down.
Go for it.
It's like the season thing. It has something to do with the harvest or something like that, right?
No! But good try. Brandon.
Jesus' resurrection.
No.
Oh.
Ashley. Yes. I didn't offer either. Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Ready? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. They rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Pentecost. Spirit poured out on man. This is what they had waited for. When Jesus went away, he said, wait here, and I will be sending the Spirit. I'll be sending the Helper. Acts 2, 15 through 16, fast forwarding. This is still during Pentecost. Peter is preaching. As everybody said, these people are crazy. They're drunk. It's morning, but they're drunk. And Peter responds, these men are not drunk as you suppose. For it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And we just read that. I will pour out my Spirit on all men and women. So we have the two evidences that the kingdom is at hand. We move forward from the past to the future. So now that the Spirit's poured out, we have two contrasts. I'm going to talk about the life now and the life parallel each other, and you're going to see that. So the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is a deposit. A down payment, you might say. Well, with any deposit or down payment, what does that normally entail? When you make a down payment on a car or on a house, what do you got to do?
Payments.
Keep paying, right? There's more to come.
Unfortunately, I wish they'd take a down payment as full, but they don't.
So, the Holy Spirit's our deposit. It's a down payment with full payment coming in the future. What is the future? Our inheritance. Our inheritance that we wait in Christ Jesus, stored up for us. What is it that we're waiting for? Our final redemption. This is where it gets kind of funny. We've been redeemed, right?
Amen.
Yeah, we're waiting for redemption, right? Amen. So it's both. It's what was, and it is what is to come. Now we have a deposit. We have the deposit of being redeemed, and yet we await the full redemption of our bodies and souls. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge, or deposit, of our inheritance. with a view, looking forward to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Second, the Holy Spirit is the first fruits. We are already partakers, right? If you've been saved, you've partaken of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Yet, the full harvest has yet to be accomplished. We have our first fruits. The harvest is at hand, however. We've received adoption, and yet we await adoption. We've been redeemed, yet we await redemption. We hope for what we have, but don't yet have. Now, in this, Romans 8:23-25. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. We're waiting for it. The redemption of our body. We're waiting for it. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. If we already have it, right? It's not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So, again, we have it, yet we're hoping for it. The Holy Spirit is the seal. We're marked. We're a possession. God is the owner. And the Spirit is the evidence of the existence of those adoption papers, sealed by God Himself. The Spirit is also the means by which we are sealed. Right? So He's the evidence of the existence of the adoption, but He's also the seal that's holding those papers. A contrast of a wax seal on a scroll or a letter that's broken, the Spirit being a personal Him, being God, is that seal breakable? No. When God seals you, it's sealed with the power of Almighty God. You can't rip that off. You can't break that seal. Almighty God has sealed it. We have security in Him as evidenced by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? How do you know you're saved? How do you really know where your future lies? Look at your life. Do you see the evidence? Do you see the Spirit within you? Because if you do, guess what? That's the seal. That's how you know. That's the security. That's our hope. Both now and yet to come. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit promise. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. God does it. And God has anointed us, and God has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, a deposit, a first fruit, a seal. This is what the Holy Spirit is to us that are saved. That's who He is to us now. Rex said, life now. Kind of hit later a little bit. Life later. The Holy Spirit, evidence of what has happened, but is yet to be completed. All that we have now, we look forward to completion later. Later we stand before the throne in the fullness of the redemption that we have now, bowing, praising God for all eternity. Worship, this is nothing compared to what we're going to be doing in heaven. This is a small little sample, a first fruit maybe you might say, of what awaits us in heaven. Their worship leader knows guitar really good. I struggle with those B minors. The character and fruits of the Spirit will be made complete in us by Jesus. In the book, there's, I want to read this one quote out of the book that we're studying because it really frames this well. And it should be.
Sounded like type 2 font here.
So squint. It's because I wrote so much. For Paul, therefore, salvation in Christ is a fundamentally eschatological reality, meaning, first of all, that God's final salvation of his people has already been accomplished by Christ. It's done. It's finished. But in a sort of divine time warp, the future condemnation that we all richly deserve has been transferred from the future into the past, having been born by Christ. Thus, we have been saved at the cross. Since our final salvation, though, has not yet been fully realized, we can likewise speak of salvation as something presently in process. We are being saved. We're working out our salvation, right? It's yet to be completed. We shall be saved. Redemption is both already, we stand redeemed, and not yet, as is our adoption and justification, gifts of righteousness. And it's really hard to wrap your head around the concept that all the sins that you might commit from right now to the day that you hit the dirt, they're forgiven already, back there at the cross. You cannot possibly, even if your last act is sin, and you hit the dirt in sin, and you never had the opportunity to go, oh, Lord, please forgive me. It happened already. You stand forgiven back there. Before you were born, you stand forgiven because that's when it happened. And yet, you haven't yet received it in its fullness yet. Don't ever think that you can out-sin God. Don't try to out-sin God either. And Paul talks about this conundrum in Romans of, well, at grace abounds, shall I just keep on sinning? Heavens no, he says. That's preposterous to say you keep on sinning because you're a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within you, dwells within you. If you just go on and keep on sinning and living the old life, then I would surely question whether the Spirit truly lives within you. That's when you start looking at the evidence of where you stand and where you don't stand. And we don't just check once, by the way, during some really inspirational sermon or something like that right now. All right. You keep checking and checking and checking. Your whole life till you hit the dirt, you examine yourself. You go, where do I stand? Yeah, I have security. I have that eternal hope. It's not going anywhere, and I see it in my life. It wasn't just a religion. I do have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, I can smile. I can have hope. Because I know where my future lies. Started at creation. We were created in the image of God. The creation was good. The fall happened. Guess what? You're still in the image of God. God made you, you. He made you good. You failed. You're still crafted good. Jesus came, took on the appearance, the form of man, humbled himself, became obedient to the cross. He rose again. He was resurrected. People saw him after he was resurrected. What did they see? They saw that humble appearance man, bearing the scars. Thomas touching him. It is you, Lord. And yet, he was glorified. His body was changed. He was resurrected into a glorified body. When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven. He recognized, saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. He didn't go, who's that guy? He recognized him. One day we will be resurrected. We will be redeemed. guess what's going to happen when you're redeemed? You already are good. Some people go, I'm going to have these nice wings. My wings are going to be bigger than your wings, and my harp's going to be more in tune than yours. And they have this whole angelic concept of what heaven's going to be. Do you not realize that heaven is going to be much of what you see, but way, way, way better? There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new heaven. There are going to be trees and rivers and cities and a kingdom and light and glory. And you are going to be there. And we're going to recognize one another. I'm going to see skinny, tall, handsome Mark. And I'm going to say, is that you?
Amen.
I'm going to recognize him. And you're going to recognize everybody in heaven. Because the Word tells us so.
That should have been like 12, 30 years ago.
1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we shall be changed. How are we going to be changed? We're going to be perfect. No more death, no more tears, no more sorrow. It's going to be amazing. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. And from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be just like His glorious body. By the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. A new heaven, a new earth, a new body. Yet, still, as we are today, with the Spirit in our lives, standing in the presence of Almighty God, filled with the Spirit of God, rejoicing and praising and serving God. Do you see that right now we live in that moment? The Spirit lives in you. You have been transformed. You have been redeemed. The old is gone. And yet you will be transformed and redeemed. You're living in it. So live that way. How are we living today? Do we say, I have the Spirit of God. I was baptized. I had the Spirit come down on me. Do we say that and have it just be words? Have it be a religion? Do the distractions of life take center stage? Do our priorities reflect this kingdom outlook? Do we have that fervency that we had when we first came to know Jesus? Are we lukewarm Christians saying, I want the insurance policy, and yet lacking the gusto? What's our perspective? If we truly understand what Paul's saying, that the future is now, that you have been transformed, you have this power within you, you are a new creation, then why do we keep living like the old? Why do we let this life dictate our kingdom life? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't our kingdom life dictate what happens in our everyday life? Satan is the master of distraction, the master of this world. The work schedule. You know, you go to work, you do your 80 hours. That's real family conducive, right? You know, it's all clockwork. Satan knows what he's doing. He's trying to distract you from your purpose, and that is in the kingdom of God. Are you living for eternity now? You've been reborn. You've been redeemed. You've been buried with Christ. You've been made a new creation. Are you living that life of the Spirit now and tomorrow? Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. It's not just a future glorification. It's now. So then we have that kingdom perspective. How do we view trials, tribulations? How do we measure our successes in life? How do we handle disappointment? What is it that we're truly living for? Why do we even keep on living? What is our hope? And what is our purpose? So many people in this world are broken. So many people have come to a place in their lives where circumstances surrounding them just beat them down. And hope seems to just take flight. And they find themselves in a place where they go, why am I still here? I've been stripped of everything. Why do I keep living this? And to those that are in that place, I say, I would tell you, your hope isn't here. Your hope isn't in your circumstances. If that is where your hope is, you're off to a horrible, horrible life ahead of you. Look at Job. God stripped him, or allowed Satan to strip him of everything. Everything. His possessions. His body. His family. Everything he knew. Everything he loved. Everything that he had comfort in was stripped from him. What if that happened to us? What would our response be? Would our response be like Job's wife said, curse God and die? Or would our response be, my hope is in you, Lord. Whatever comes my way, whatever hits me here, my eyes are fixed on you. I might be in sackcloth and ashes, mourning the rest of the days of my life, but I can always smile and keep my eyes up and look ahead. Because that's where my hope lies. So then we have a decision to make, right? And I talk, whenever I talk, you're probably going to hear me bring it down to this, because this is really the common denominator of why I talk ever, why Mark talks ever up here to anybody. Our primary purpose in life is what? Oh, you get a medal. What is our primary purpose in life? To glorify our Lord. It's what we were created for. That's the only reason we exist. So we have to examine ourselves. That's our decision we have to make. Because we're living in the kingdom time. We're living in the future. The future is at hand. Christ is coming. He says he's coming soon. My father-in-law sent an email out this last week. It was just a random email that he sent out, but it was great. And he goes, if you die, or if Jesus comes back today, do you know where you're going? Right now, if the sky splits open, the roof peels off this church, do you know where you stand before God and what the end result's going to be for you? Because it can happen at any second. And it is going to happen at any second when we least expect it. We'll probably all be sitting here or going about our job. You don't know what we're going to be doing. You're not going to be staring up waiting for the sky to split open. It'll happen, and you better be ready. When we leave here, the motorcyclists were here a month ago, and I made a little wisecrack, and I felt a little bad afterwards, because I was like, driving a motorcycle's dangerous. You never know what's going to happen to you out there. You may not make it a mile from this church before your ticket's up. And that goes for any of us. Are you ready? Have you examined yourself? Do you see the evidence of the Spirit in you, the seal? Are you living your life with the purpose and the hope in Jesus, or are you living your life for the now? You're going through the motion. Because if that's you, change it. Get things right now with God. Don't wait. 1 Peter 1, 6-9.
Got two verses here I'm going to close with. They're kind of long. Follow along. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, that your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Trials test your faith. They prove it to be genuine. If you endure, if the trial comes and you crumble, what have you proven? And you better get to your knees again. We're going to fail a trial. That's human nature. But you get back up again. You keep chugging right along. You keep trying to serve Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light. Children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake. Be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. That's what we're trying to do here. I'm not trying to shame y'all into, I'm going to church again, tense spoken, being horrible. No. My goal is to encourage you guys to be confident in who you are. To recognize you are redeemed. You're a child of God. Live that way. If there's anything in your life that's different than that proclamation, change it. Because the time's at hand. The time is short.
Chad's going to come up. He's going to play a little tune. While he's playing, I'd like to invite the prayer team forward. The altars are open.
If you are examining your life and you're saying, no, I'm not sure. I see a lot of inconsistencies in my life. I look and I go, well, I'm living this way, yet I know God's word says I need to live this way. And the two aren't reconciling with each other. If you're looking at your life, do I have the seal of the Spirit on me? And you can't say definitely yes. And now's the time. Any one of us would love to pray to answer that question, so that when you leave here, you're not wondering. But you leave here dancing out the doors going, I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. And I will be redeemed on that future day. So come. Make certain of your future. Maybe you have just some other needs going on in your life right now. The trials are hitting you. The storms of life are hitting you. Come. That's what the body does. We pray for one another. We hold up one another. We do it so that God moves. God's word tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So pray. Amen.
examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test your faith yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So this morning, there's two ways to go out of this place rejoicing. One is to recognize who you are in Christ. Recognize that I know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if that doesn't get you dancing, it's that old, does light your fire, your woods all the way up, right? But the other way to go out of this place dancing is by inviting Christ in your heart and saving the Lord this morning. Just take this a minute and pray. Father, we come to you right now. He said, let a man examine himself. Let us test ourselves. What's really important? Do we really have Jesus Christ in our heart as Savior and Lord? Have we really been living through the power of the Holy Spirit? Again, it's not about perfection. It's about what our heart is living for you. So God, we pray that we could look at that test. Look and recognize what's going on in our life. Lord, I pray that for those that can answer, they can live, I passed that test today. Because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that this could be the day that we walk out of this place worshiping you and praising you. Because we have life. We have it completely and fully. And yet, we're going to have even more. Lord, I pray if somebody looks at that and say, you know, I really don't have it. Lord, may this be the day. May you recognize, yeah, God, we were created in perfection. And because of sin, we fell. We have a promise that is just huge and awesome. And that promise is through Christ Jesus. Today, we come to you and say, God, I'm a sinner. I stand today needing the forgiveness. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all sin. Today, I want to ask you, God, come into my heart and Savior and Lord. Come in, I want to live for you from this day forth. I want to live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come, live within me, dwell with me, empower me to live, not to be good, but to live as a child of God. To live with the power of the Holy Spirit within me. God, make that happen. Oh, God. May I just thank you, God. Is anybody praying that prayer right now? That prayer takes, as your word says, from death to life, from darkness to light. It changes. Because behold, all things have become new. Thank you for that hope, for that promise we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
One last time, will you just stand with us this morning? Talk to me, please. If you are there, come up. You want to come back out? No, no, no.